Amen. I want to tap back into the thought on meditation. I really believe, just from a pastor's perspective, that a lot of people spend a whole lot more time worrying than they do meditating on the scripture. Amen. And when we talk about meditating, we're talking about, well, the actual definition from the Webster's 1828 says, a close or continued thought, the turning or revolving of a subject in the mind, serious contemplation. Whenever we worry, we meditate, but we meditate typically on a problem, and it's usually concerning what might happen. It's nothing concrete. It's all the things that could potentially happen. Some may be way out there, no way plausible in one sense, but yet in the mind will play a case where even that could happen, and we begin to be very fearful and anxious, and it really does affect us. As a matter of fact, it actually has an adverse effect on our health. And I want to just, we're going to use a portion of scripture tonight, and we're just going to kind of go through on what it means to meditate on that. But before we do, I want to just give three quick passages again to show how important it is that we meditate upon God's word. And I know being down the last couple of days a little bit, I've rested more than I have typically. And by God's plan, of course, I don't maybe take that time as much as I should. But it's been good, amen, just to be able to think on things, pray, think on scripture, and just zone out in him, amen. And that is it's such a blessing and such a rest, and it's just amazing. So look over at Joshua 1:8. We'll read Joshua 1:8, Psalms 1, and then Psalm 119, a passage there. And then we're going to jump into Proverbs 3, and we're going to find that the scripture that we typically will meditate upon, we want to meditate upon something that's like a directive or a promise or something in the Word of God that is just, you know, kind of, it's in a sense, it's a way. It's something brought forth to guide our path, if you will. And without fail, really, in the Word of God, what we'll find is with passages like that, there will be a result promise to that. So if you do this, then this will come. And I love those things about the Word of God, the cause and effect passages of the Scripture. And we can bank on those. We can count on them. And we know that God always comes through. His Word is true. It's steadfast. That might happen. It's a good idea. No, His Word, it does always come to pass. We can trust it. And so in Joshua 1:8, of course, Joshua starting his ministry there, Moses is off the scene. And this is what was stated to Joshua. He said, this book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then, I love that, right? He says, basically, in his first part of this, the law, the word of God, in that day, what they had revealed unto them, it was not to depart out of the mouth. And so out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. So if it's in the mouth, it's in the heart. And he said here that but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, meditating upon the word of God that thou mayest observe to do. So we meditate upon it so that then we can apply it to our lives. We don't meditate upon it just simply to know it. We don't meditate upon it just simply to add some knowledge to us so that we could maybe combat our critics. We meditate upon the word of God so that word of God can get in us and then be active through us. Amen. And it goes on to say, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous. Actually, let's go ahead and jump back up. Mid-verse number 8 there, it says, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Yeah. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Now, what's interesting about this text is it kind of insinuates here that if he's not meditating upon the law day and night, that then he will be afraid, right? Because Joshua is being sent into an enemy land, and he's going to be on a conquering mission. And can I say we live on enemy soil today? Amen. This world that we live is it's not our home. Like the songwriter said, we're just passing through. And we actually are already seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And that's where our heart should be, and that's where we should be laying up treasure. Amen. And so our heart should be there. Our thoughts should be there. Our connection should be in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And so we, like Joshua, are on enemy soil, and we've been sent on a conquest to conquer the hearts of mankind for their good and God's glory. Amen. And this is what we're here to do. And so very similar from what we see here in Joshua 1:8, he says, "Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed." That's going to be like confused and not sure of what direction to go, just struggling. "For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." How much more true is that when his word is constantly in our meditation? Amen. He is with us as a believer anyway, but how much more when we're allowing him to speak to us at every stage, at in everything? We have the author of the Bible, but the author of all creation walking with us, and his word can walk with us and be with us as well if we'll just meditate on his word day and night. And if we'll do that, then thou shalt have a prosperous way, and your success rate is guaranteed. You will have a good success. Thou shalt have good success. And of course, Psalm 1, verse number 1. And just again, just showing the, in these real quick passages, very well known texts of Scripture, but the importance of meditating on the Word of God and the need for us to refuse to worry, refuse to allow the voices in our head to get the best of us. And we're supposed to prove those voices, amen? Every one of us have voices in our head. Every one of us are getting talked to by something spiritual all the time, amen? We need to be able to cast out those things out of our mind which do not hold the test of Scripture. And we're supposed to bring in captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ so that we can be strong and of a good courage and not dismayed and not afraid. Because we live in such a place today that if you let yourself, your mind really wander on some of the things going on, you potentially could be afraid of what's going on. It's just the nature of the day that we live. There's a lot of frightening things out there. But if you meditate on the Word of God, you'll realize that there's no reason to be afraid. God is with us. He's not only with us in word, he is with us practically speaking. And his word being meditated upon in our heart is a huge component to us practically seeing this in our lives. Psalm 1, verse 1. "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." In other words, don't surround yourself with voices and with those that are going to speak to you things that are not in accordance with the word. Instead, verse number 2, "But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night." I love verse 3. It's the promise of this text. And it says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season." You'll be a fruitful Christian if you'll start meditating on the word. And maybe you already are, but I would encourage you, increase that meditation to where it's day and night, constantly thinking about the Lord and his word. "And his leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." Amen. And so again, the promise is here. And what's the common thing here? If we'll just meditate upon God's word day and night and not slip into this thought of worry and this thought of complaint and the things that we drum up in our mind, but instead meditate upon his word. Look at Psalm 119. Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, 97. He says, "Oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou, through thy commandments, has made me wiser than mine enemies, and they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. It's not just good enough to know the Word of God. We must meditate upon the Word of God. That's when we begin to see it practically realized in a tangible way in our lives. And that will breed a confidence that can't be gathered any other way. Look over at Proverbs 3 now. Proverbs 3 and verse number 5. Proverbs 3, verse number 5. Not going to be real long tonight, one, because I don't know my voice will hold out, amen, but we'll give it a shot. But this text has been one of those portions of Scripture that's been very, very important and influential in my life, I know, and in many other people's lives as well that I've talked with. But in Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, the Bible says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." We're going to look through verse 8 in a minute, but for now, let's just start right there. Let's break this passage down a little bit. You know, when you begin to meditate on the Scripture, you probably already do this, but you should approach the Scripture with a couple questions in mind. Like, to whom is this passage speaking? And you may not know that right off the bat, but Proverbs is a book of wise sayings written by Solomon. Primarily, when it was written, it was written to his son. We don't know this for sure, but potentially it was Rehoboam, the one who would be next king. But it was from a father to a son. And not just any father, but Solomon, who was granted tremendous wisdom. And so these are wise sayings from a father to a son. And so that's important to kind of keep in mind, that this is the perspective here. You might think about, you know, what is this passage saying in context? Well, just knowing to whom it is speaking helps with that. It's a father trying to help a son stay out of some trouble and to stay on that right course, right? You might think about, can God speak to me through this passage? Can it be applicable to me? Well, absolutely. All the Word of God can be applicable. We just want to be careful sometimes in some passages. We can't directly apply, but we can apply in principle. But in this text, absolutely, we can look at this as our loving Heavenly Father. Solomon's a type of God the Father in that regard. And, of course, we being a type of His Son, Solomon's Son. So we can take this passage from a wise Father, God the Father, unto His children, you and I. And so that's important. And then lastly, something else you could consider as you get into this text: am I willing to believe and apply this passage to my life beginning right now? Am I willing? If God teaches me something through this passage, am I willing to believe it? Because if you engage in meditation, that's what it will lead to. It will lead to you challenging your very ways of your life, and hopefully coming into an agreement with God that God is right and that you're going to follow His way. Look at that first phrase, trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord means to have confidence in. It means that you count Him as trustworthy. And I hope that you do. Sometimes the way that we live, we don't always, it doesn't always look like we count Him as trustworthy. A lot of times we're a little bit skeptical of His word. Does it work? Does it not? But it does. He is trustworthy. So trust in the Lord. And we're going to trust with all of our heart. But the trust here means that He will not direct me wrong. If I trust in the Lord, then I'm saying, I believe that whatever God directs me in will be right. Amen. He says in this thing with all thine heart, lean not thy own understanding. And so in order to trust in the Lord, this means the direction that He leads me may be difficult and may even seem like a dead end at times.
But God is able to provide a way in the wilderness. By the way, that's Isaiah 43:19, tells us that God is able to supply a way in the wilderness. And then if you think about how God works, think about Israel when they came out of Egypt, and they could have went a different way around the Red Sea, but they didn't. And God took them down into a place that seemingly was a dead end. And then Egypt got emboldened, and then they came, and they came after them. And Israel was afraid. And it was Moses who got alone with God, and God instructed him on how he would be provided a way through the Red Sea. But it only happened when he got alone with God. If he would have let the worry and everything else just captivate his thinking, then he would have never got direction from God. But Moses got with God, and God directed him. And he provided a way through a situation that would have otherwise been impossible. Now, how was this able to be received? Well, Moses trusted in the Lord. And he went through a bunch of things. But ultimately, Moses had a relationship with God, and he trusted God. And he was willing to follow the direction of God, which ultimately worked, of course. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Now, if you're looking at a passage like this and you're beginning to meditate upon it, what you want to do is you want to, in a sense, just keep mulling over that verse, and you will memorize it, right? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Think about that. Man, what does that mean for me to trust in the Lord? You can ask yourself, do I trust in the Lord? Do I trust in Him with all my heart? And you could just be silent and let God speak to your heart in this time, and let God direct your heart and mind to other passages of Scripture, so you can be challenged by God on whether or not you really do trust in the Lord. I would recommend being in a quiet area, potentially even closing your eyes, just somehow to get other distractions out, and learn to think on and meditate upon and challenge yourself as you consider the Scriptures. So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The heart here is referring to you as a complete person, the depths of who you are, in a sense your soul, but more than that, being willing from the very inner core of your person. Are you willing to trust God? Not just superficially, not just through the things you understand, not just through the things that you think might work, but are you willing to trust in the Lord with all your heart, in everything? Are you willing to trust in Him? Because this is what Solomon was challenging his son in, and this is what God is challenging us with today as well. It's been said that our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotion. Can you trust God with your mind? Can you trust God with your emotions, which would include your fears, which would include anything that might cause anxiety in you? Are you willing to trust God with your emotions? Are you willing to trust God with everything from within you, our mind, our will, and our emotions? In other words, our will, meaning like Jesus said, he said in John 5:30, I can of mine own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just. Because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. Can I trust God with my own will? Can I adopt His will in place of my own? Can I trust Him with my mind? Would I be willing to, in a sense, swap out the mind of Christ for my mind? Am I willing to do that? Because this is what Solomon was challenging, potentially Rehoboam here to do, to trust in the Lord with everything, with who we are from the very core. I love this next part. It says, and lean not unto thy own understanding. We lean on our own understanding all the time. Leaning means to rest on. Like if I'm leaning on this, I trust it. It's not going to just fall over, right? I rely upon it to hold me up. I rely on it when I'm tired. I just need something to lean against. What do you lean on in life? See, this is what you do when you meditate. You challenge you because you know you. Amen? So you let the Word of God challenge you. Trust in the Lord. Do I do that? Am I trusting in the Lord with all of my heart? Then it says, and lean not unto thy own understanding. When things get tough, whose understanding do you lean on? Well, that's how I've always done it. Who are you leaning on? Well, you know, I think, who are you leaning on? Do you see what I'm saying? Do we lean on our own understanding? Or do we go back to the Word of God and say, well, God said this, and right now, it doesn't look like it's working out. But I remember a time when Israel was led out of Egypt, and they were backed up in a corner. It didn't look good for them there neither. You see, this is how we meditate. We think through it, and we make it personal and practical in our lives. And we challenge ourselves with this. Am I leaning on me, or am I leaning on God? This is true in every area of life. This might be true in your work. This might be true in relationships for you that you're thinking about. It might be true in some family problems you're having. It might be true in health issues that you're having. It can be true in a whole host of things. And for me as a pastor, am I trying to do this thing as I think I should? Or am I doing this thing as I believe God wants me to? And by the way, everybody has an opinion for how we should operate in everything. I'm not so much interested in everyone's opinions, to include my own. I'm interested primarily in God's opinion. Amen? Not that man's opinions, not that it's not important, but it's not first on the priority list. God's word is first. Am I leaning on Him first, you see? So trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And lean not unto thy own understanding. By the way, the word understanding there means wisdom. Lean not on your own wisdom. If we think we know anything, the Bible says we know nothing as we ought to know. Amen? Watch this next passage, this next verse in here, or next phrase. In all thy, what's that word? Ways. What's a way? Mm-hmm. Which way did he go? A way is a course. It's a direction. And in decision making, every time we make a decision, we head down a way. It sends us down a pathway. Does that make sense? And that's what this is specifically talking about. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Because our heart is where we get challenged at, based on what we want to do, based on what we're dealing with, right? And it says, lean not unto thy own understanding, but in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. So what does acknowledge mean? To be aware of. That's good. Anybody else have anything to add to that? When we acknowledge something, we're aware of it, but it's a little further than that. We accept it as true. We acknowledge it. Okay, I accept that now, right? Yes.
Acknowledge, I was just thinking acquire knowledge.
Hmm.
So it's,
yeah.
It's
it becomes mine. I would guess in that.
It's because of my lack of belief, because he's here all the time. So I mean,
right.
Possibly with acknowledging is also faith.
Yeah. So trust in the Lord. Let's say it together real quick. Ready? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now watch this. In all thy ways, that's a direction that I'm charting. In all my ways, I'm going to acknowledge his wisdom and his way as best. I'm acknowledging him. I'm not leaning to my own understanding. It's not my life, it's his. He's directing me. Then watch this. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. If I will acknowledge him in his word, not my own thought of it, not what I want it to say, not what I think it might say, but me knowing what it says. I'm digging in his word. I'm letting God speak to me through his word. He's challenging me to the very core. How many people actually let God challenge them to the core? We need to. We live kind of cloaked. We do that with people, but we don't want to do that. We don't ultimately want to do that with people, but we definitely don't want to do that with God. We're already naked and open before him, with whom we have to do, right? It says in Hebrews. So he already knows us through and through, but we need to come clean in these things with God and let God search us from the very center of our being. Amen? In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now, watch what it says here next. Verse 7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Is that crazy? It's like a follow-up here, just in case you didn't quite get it. This is what it's saying. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Be wise in God's eyes. Remember what it was back in Psalm 119 said? Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day. Thou through thy commandments has made me wiser than mine enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for thy testimonies are my meditations. And so we want that to be true in our lives. And the only way it will be is if we refuse to be wise in our own eyes. Now watch this. It says, fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's saying, in contrast to God's ways, our ways are what? Evil. There is a way that seemeth right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Remember, the wages of sin is death. And so when we're honest through meditation, you'll have to acknowledge that, God, if I choose my way over yours, that's evil. I'm choosing an evil path. Does that make sense? And this is how honest we need to be just in our quiet time with God, where we're letting him. David said, search me and know me. Try my thoughts. See if there be found any wicked way in me, and lead me in the paths of righteousness. And that's the relationship we should have with God through meditation. Now, let's real quick just look at this promise, and then we'll be finished. In verse number 8, if we'll do this, I love the promises of God's word connected with these passages. It shall be health to thy navel. That was one of the things I was thinking on today. Health to my navel. I looked that up and it's literally talking about the belly button. It's like where the umbilical cord was, right? Health to thy navel just thinking through it and just reading a little bit, just some people had the thought, and I agree with them, that the that umbilical cord before we were birthed is how all the nutrients from our mom flowed into us and sustained life. It's that cord that brought nutrients to us. Now think of this. If I will trust in God, trust in the Lord with all my heart, and get my own understanding out of it, my own ways out of it, and if all my ways I will acknowledge Him and let Him direct my paths. This passage is saying, it's like it connects an umbilical cord between God and us, where He can flow His wisdom into us so that He can direct our paths. Isn't that amazing? What an amazing thought. Amen. Oh, how we need that. Amen. If you're in a womb and you could somehow grab a pair of scissors and go, I'm tired of being connected to Mom. I don't want her stuff flowing in me. I want my own. What would happen? We would die. Well, as a Christian, that's kind of what happens too. We die on the vine, and we get discouraged, and we get full of anxiety, and we destroy ourselves. Our health is affected. People around us are ill affected. I'm ill affected. Because in a sense, we cut that umbilical cord between us and God because we refuse to follow Him at the core in His ways. Crazy? And so that's kind of what this text shows. It says, it shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Now, marrow, that is that stuff inside the bones that's liquid. At least it should be. Sort of, it's got a little bit of substance to it. It's more liquid in nature. They can actually pull it out through a needle. But I was reminded when I was thinking on this, in Proverbs 17:22, it says, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth the bones. A broken spirit removes moisture from our bones. I believe that to be true. I believe that to be practical. I believe that to be a physiological truth, that when we lose heart and we lose spirit and we lose hope and we get depressed and we get discouraged, that it has a bad effect on our health and on our bones. And the answer, spiritually speaking, is I need to trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct my paths. And if I'll do that, and I'll cast all my care upon Him in this way, I don't have to be afraid anymore. I don't have to be worried anymore. I don't have to do any of that. Because all I'm doing in life is following Him in His way. And if I go through a hard time, that's okay. Because just like Israel, they were backed up in a hard time. But God came through. And I know He'll come through in my life too. And all that trust goes to Him. And then I can actually enjoy life again. Because I'm not worried about what might happen. Amen? So that's just a passage that I picked today to meditate on and kind of show how this works. But I really want to encourage each of you here today to engage in the practice of meditation. Find a passage. Pray about a passage. When you're reading through your Bible and something jumps out, write that thing down, mark it down, and then go back and meditate upon it. You might have the same passage for a whole week that you meditate upon. And you just keep building on it, asking God to develop it for you, seeking the Scriptures, talking to others about it, just letting that passage examine you at the core as you acknowledge it to be true through and through. Not just true out here, but true for me and true for my life. Amen. So that's the level of meditation I hope that you engage in. And if not, that you will. And if you are, I would say, keep it up. Amen. Let's pray. Thank you, dear God, for tonight. Thank you for those that are here. Thank you for those that couldn't make it or zooming in. And Lord, I pray for our people. I pray for all of us, God, that you just exalt the health of each of us, Lord, that we might be raised back up, Lord, to good strength. And I know we don't deserve good health, but I know it's a whole lot easier to be productive and engage in things when that does exist. And so we just ask, God, that you would grant mercy there. I know we live in a fallen world and these things happen, but God, give grace through it, I pray. And God, thank you, Lord, now for your goodness to us. Thank you, God, for this time tonight here together. God, help us to consider this practice of meditation as the scriptures teach it, not as the world teaches, not New Age stuff, but as your scriptures tell us what this is. I pray that we would engage in it and mull over the Word of God and allow it to make it to the heart level as we allow it to examine us and prove us. And God, I pray that through that we would acknowledge you and that you would provide us health in our navel and marrow, in our bones through it. Thank you for this night. Please help now as we're dismissed and heading our way after we get done praying. And we just thank you now for how you work, how you have worked and how you will work through our lives in these coming days. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.